Just a few years ago, we welcomed the newest member of our family. Her name is Alexa. She's super smart and talented. She tells us the weather, she plays our favorite music, she can even answer our toughest questions. Alexa is powered by artificial intelligence, and she's been integrated into our lives in ways we couldn't have dreamed of before she arrived on our doorstep. On March 21st and 22nd, Southern Oregon University will convene a panel of at least 18 regional thought leaders, entrepreneurs, and educators to explore the multifaceted impact of AI on society. The AI Summit is designed to inspire community discussions and provide actionable insights into the rapid integration of AI in creativity, education, work, and life. Rather than a tech conference, the AI Summit is designed as a community forum. Joining me in the studio are three of the event's presenters. Heather Stafford is CEO of the Rogue Workforce Partnership. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you.
Dr. Randy Weber is president of Rogue Community College. Welcome.
Thanks. You're excited to join you today.
Ian Ingram is president and CEO of New Raven. Welcome.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
You can join the conversation as well by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Ian, we're going to start with you. You're CEO of an AI consulting firm that specializes in strategic AI integration and comprehensive AI literacy. So we're going to kick off our discussion with a question. What is artificial intelligence and how will AI impact my life?
Those are very easy questions to answer. Just kidding. So when we think about AI, you know, in my personal life, AI was kind of on my radar for a decade plus, not really knowing what it is. I knew it was in my phone. I knew it was on the internet. For the most part, the past few decades, when we talked about AI, we would talk mainly about this idea called machine learning, where we have large amounts of data and we train algorithms on predicting housing prices based off of square footage or the weather based off of previous weather. This is not necessarily a new concept, but I think one of the reasons that AI has come into the mainstream in recent couple of years is because of some considerable changes in the capability of AI. So under the machine learning kind of umbrella is another subset called generative AI. And this is the ability to output images, text, video, I think one of the most popular AI products, ChatGPT, is kind of like a household name now. This is machine learning kind of taken to the cutting edge. We have kind of three pillars of societal capability. You know, we have large amounts of data. We're producing more data in the world than we ever have before, exabytes of information every year. What do we do with all that data? Well, we have some very, very clever algorithms that we can train to learn the patterns in that data. You know, how to write an essay from thousands, millions of other essays that have been given as examples. How to have a conversation from thousands of, for better or worse, maybe Facebook group conversations.
The machine can access just an enormous volume of information.
Yes.
And teach itself.
And this is called unsupervised learning, and it's one of the kind of key components of why we have models that can, for all intents and purposes, act like they are human and kind of mimic human intelligence.
Okay, all right. Hold it right there, because you're getting into scary territory. We're going to get there. But first, Heather, tell me about your work at Rogue Workforce Partnership.
Sure. Rogue Workforce Partnership is our region's workforce investment board. So we manage federal funds to do training, and we convene industry sectors in six different industries. We're a business-led board, which is wonderful because they keep us, they keep us sane, I think. They keep us moving at the pace of business and creating a demand-driven system. So, you know, our ultimate goal is really to supply a workforce and help businesses grow and help the region be more prosperous and help Oregonians who live here have opportunities for work. And, you know, I think the reason why I'm so fascinated and interested in this topic is that the recent innovations in AI are going to fundamentally shift the way that people work. And we're already seeing it. We're going to see it more and more.
Absolutely. Now, you talked about six different sectors. Can you name those sectors?
Sure. Yeah. We focus on healthcare and construction, advanced manufacturing. We host a natural resources industry group, technology, and always transportation. Thanks, Randy.
IT, e-commerce, those kinds of things?
Absolutely. Yeah, technology. And, you know, with a focus on the region, and technology is a really interesting one because, you know, it's just, it's now affecting every industry. So, you know, it's got its own verticals, and then it's also got horizontal effects in manufacturing, healthcare, construction, all the things that we also focus on.
Okay, so before they get to the workforce, they're going to come through some sort of educational process. Dr. Weber, it used to be that the fastest route to the workforce from high school was community college. And now with AI and impacting the demand of all these industries and the growth of all these industries, I imagine that there's a lot of pressure on community colleges to accelerate that pipeline of workforce as well. How has all of this impacted RCC?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question for us. And so, you know, I'll start off by saying our college has rebounded from our region's wildfires and the pandemic phenomenally well. And the way we've done so is by focusing on relevance and responding to our regional needs and for workforce development. And in doing that, we've done a lot in career and technical education. We've rebuilt our transfer efforts as we've worked with SOU and other partners. So I'll focus on that word relevance because it relates to this conversation very well in that our job is to make sure that we have access to quality education to provide our future workforce needs for our region. And what that looks like, to your point, is quite a bit different than maybe has historically, where the path to a better life is to and through post-secondary education. And what we are seeing is that folks may want to enter the workforce earlier, but when they do that, we're realizing that they don't necessarily have the level of skills that they're interested in. So we've embraced a lot, or that they need, or their employers need them to have. And so what we've embraced a lot of is what we call learn while you earn. And so while people are entering workforce at these entry-level jobs, that we've got training programs to help them so they can grow and their employer can expand their products and their lines and their opportunities. And so it's kind of a mixed bag where we have industries that we work closely with workforce partnerships and Heather and team. I have the fortune of serving on their board. So some of those sectors require credentials prior to entry, and it's a little bit easier to build those programs in that way, and others don't. And so working with those employers to say, well, what does a skilled workforce look like to you, and how do you value education? So the way AI is in here is just how we're introducing it to people as you know, it's going to enter every sector in some way. And workers, that we hear the saying a lot, like, I'm scared I'm going to be replaced by AI. And the likelihood of being replaced by AI is quite a ways down the road. But being replaced by somebody who knows how to use AI, that's a more realistic reality.
Right,
you know?
Right. So that's that human partnership with machines. My three in-studio guests are Heather Stafford, CEO of the Rogue Workforce Partnership, Ian Ingram, President and CEO of New Raven, and Dr. Randy Weber, President of Rogue Community College. All three are featured speakers in the AI Summit at SOU on March 21st and 22nd. So let's talk about the AI Summit for a minute. I understand it isn't a tech conference, so to speak, but rather a community forum, right? So Ian, what's your role?
I'm blessed to, I'm a SOU student. I haven't graduated with a computer science degree yet. I graduate in June.
Wait, you're a student and you already have your own consulting firm?
Well, I figured that in order to learn how this affects the real world, I should get out there and start learning how people use it.
That's pretty smart.
And instead of just sitting, you know, at home, kind of theorizing on the internet about how this is affecting the world, and because of that, because I put myself out there, I realized that there's a huge economic pressure to incorporate AI, and because this technology is so fast moving, there's a few pitfalls in that. People don't necessarily have a full picture of where AI can go wrong in their business if they incorporate it in a half measure, or if they don't understand its limitations. And so
there are precautions.
There are considerable precautions, and that kind of that dynamic extends to I believe the community. And so this summit is kind of an all hands on deck. We realize that these tools are very capable. We realize that everyone around the world is starting to use them. How can we incorporate it safely in our community? How can we incorporate it safely in our organizations so that the human lives that we're responsible for, if we're a manager or a CEO, or our neighbors that we have the responsibility to help out in our community, how can we make sure that AI is going to be used in the near future with intention to help them? And that just requires a conversation.
Well, I certainly like the idea of safety, and I heard that emphasized in your description. Heather, what's your role in the summit?
I get to kick it off on Saturday, actually, with a short conversation around the title's Future of Work is Human. And I think that represents a bit of the theme of the conference. And, you know, in the workforce world and in education also, we've made our business training humans for a long time. And we have this very capable infrastructure and these tools that are coming online that humans can use. And I think Randy said it well that, you know, we're going to be replaced by people who know how to use these. And in education and in life, and this is no fault of our past necessarily, but I think our future is going to look a lot different, that we've been training humans to give a lot of answers, to memorize a lot of answers, to remember things, to read books and regurgitate things that are in the books so that they can supply the answers. And we don't need to do that anymore. So I think what's interesting is that we are in an era of cultivating questioning, of cultivating our ability to ask the right questions, right? It'll be called prompt engineering. It is called prompt engineering when you talk with ChatGPT. But our human abilities, our superpowers, are really rely around our curiosity and our ability to question and keep questioning. And AI is sort of silently sitting there as a tool waiting for really good questions. It's just silent until we ask it something, right? So we're a great match if you think about it that way. And we're the ones who are going to drive where this goes because we're the ones asking questions.
Well,
right?
I have a question for you on that note. I read a report that was produced in January. It showed a 3.6% increase in GDP produced by Jackson County alone. Hmm. From 2022 to 2023, which is the raw numbers is up nearly to $13 billion in productivity here in this region. Now you cover six sectors, and AI is about to explode.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are those sectors responding, and how are you making sure that you meet the demand?
Yeah, well, we've also had a challenge, especially since the pandemic, of supplying enough skilled and talented workers for all those industries. They've been really struggling to fill those seats and those roles with humans who we can train up to do that. So if you think about, you know, AI potentially, even with what's on the table now, giving you an extra 30 or 40%, we've already saved in my organization alone, which is a pretty small organization, two full-time equivalents by using some of these tools. So, you know, you've got Fathom note takers, you've got, you know, your ability to automate things and do research. And, you know, those were occupied by humans. And frankly, these AI tools do them better and faster and more automated. And so when we bring things like that on, we, the business community and all of us, become more productive. And we had a short supply of talent to be able to put into those, to all of those industries in the first place. So, the concept that we're all going to lose our jobs because of AI, not necessarily, but if we have 30 or 40% more of our time, how can we use that time to be more creative, productive, innovative, talented? And that just helps those businesses grow.
So our roles are transitioning. I'm going to get to you, Dr. Weber, when we come back. We need to take a short break. So before the break, we were talking about the roles at the AI summit that you all three will play. Dr. Weber, What will you present at the AI Summit?
Yeah, so I'll be serving on a panel around that's focused on learning around AI, as well as providing closing comments for the conference to share, you know, kind of what we can take away from the conference, as well as how we can collaborate and move forward within the region to tackle this this disruption together.
So it's a community forum. You want the community there, right?
100%. Yeah. As I understand, there's still limited tickets available. So we encourage those who have interest in registering. I think it's this Friday evening and Saturday. Please consider doing so. I think you'll learn a lot about AI's presence in our region, as well as ways that we can work together to compete in our globalized society. I think one of the things I continue to hear that spooks me a little bit is a number of individuals who may sometimes feel fearful or overburdened by the thought of AI and choose to opt out. And, you know, I don't think that we're going to be able to compete in society as we move forward by opting out. It's going to figure out how do we do it responsibly? How do we do it intentionally? And that's where a lot of my excitement for this region exists, is how do we move forward together on this? And one thing we know about ourselves is that historically we've collaborated very well. So I'm confident this is something we can collaborate on.
Okay, so if someone wants to be part of this community forum, this AI summit at SOU, how do they do that?
There's a registration link at anpconference.com. If you're listening to this and you feel any inhibitions about, you know, I don't know anything about AI, this is very entry level. This is, like Heather said, your being here in the community is your qualifier. Your subject matter expertise in your domain, in your work, in your art, and your passion, that is your subject matter expertise. Please bring that. That's what we want to be there, because AI is very capable. Yes, we can ask it questions. We can ask it follow-up questions. But it doesn't know what Jackson County needs. It doesn't know what the Rogue Valley needs. And that's where we all come in.
So. Okay, and the summit is designed as a community forum, so people will be able to engage, interact. There's Q&A. They'll be able to bring their comments, questions, concerns.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, Dr. Weber, what are some of the unique challenges that AI presents for students that are still in the formal education stage and adults that are already in the workforce?
Yeah, you know, AI is often, it's like a lot of tools that we, I mean, it is a tool. And so think of other tools where it can be overused, it can be abused. And so for students in their learning environment, we see a lot of things like students who are writing and getting assessments done for their math, where they're going to get real-time feedback on, like, okay, here are the issues that you don't know very well. You know, we have students, I heard a story just the other day from an instructor who the student said, you know, I had a very long, complex assignment from my instructor, and I have a difficulty focusing. So the student was able to take that long, complex assignment, throw it into ChatGPT and say, what are the key takeaways from this that I need to know to complete my assignment? And with that prompt, felt less daunted by what the instructor was asking them.
And we used to call those cliff notes.
Yeah. And there's a cliff notes from those assignments. And so they don't feel intimidated to go ask their instructor. So it empowers them in a lot of ways. But our instructors struggle with it a little bit because they see an over-reliance on the tool where it's, you know, a key thing that we want as a learning outcome, regardless of the course or the program a student is enrolled in, is the ability to think critically. And so some instructors have done a really good job of saying, we know you're going to use AI, so show me your critical thoughts that go into your prompts, how you arrived at your final answer. And sometimes what we're seeing is the student, unfortunately, take the question that the instructor asked, put it right in there, and give the ChatGPT answer as their answer, and that takes away that component of critical thought. So it's difficult for instructors to stay on top of ways that this is getting leveraged, but a lot of the forward-thinking ones are acknowledging that this is a tool that students have available to them, and they're really just kind of working with them to say, use it, but because the outcome of this course is thinking, I want to see how you think.
Well, critical thinking and creativity, those are human elements.
Yes.
And so if we're going to transition into a human partnership with these machines, we don't want the machines to replace us. We're bringing something to the table, right?
as a student myself, I find myself tempted to use it to do my work for me. That's the easiest and simplest kind of cheap way of using it. But I think one of the things that Dr. Weber mentioned is coming at it with intention. And that critical thinking it's not going to just happen automatically. But if we take the effort and use these tools, which are very dynamic, instead of having it write my essay, have it be a sounding partner. Have it be a creative, a call and response kind of conversation, or maybe turn that into a study guide of the research. These tools can now browse the internet. They can give us our sources. They can double check our grammar, our bibliographies. It really is down to the user to put the quality in to get the quality out.
So have the AI work for us, not us for it.
It's collaborative, certainly.
My guests are Heather Stafford, CEO of the Rogue Workforce Partnership, Ian Ingram, President and CEO of New Raven, and Dr. Randy Weber, President of Rogue Community College. All three are featured speakers in the AI Summit at SOU on March 21st and 22nd. So Heather, the creation of enormous amounts of content like video, animation, movies, AI generated, like Ian was talking about, is going to require exponentially more storage and data, more energy to power devices and maintain storage facilities. What kind of industry sectors are going to be impacted by this growing demand, and how will students and entrepreneurs be prepared?
That's a big question, and there's a big unknown. I mean, there's this idea of the, zettabyte, which is a sort of unfathomably large number.
And I know about the terabyte.
Yeah, it's, 10 to the 28th power, something crazy. I think I have that wrong. But, it's incredible amounts of data are going to be required. I mean, this is how, we're teaching AI on large amounts of data. And in some ways, that data doesn't require a lot of human support to run. It requires a lot of power and a lot of energy and a lot of infrastructure and a lot of expense. And it pulls down on a lot of our systems, which then it'd be nice to have implementation that made that stuff more efficient. But it's not going to be a game changer necessarily for jobs, right? Which is sometimes my focus is what, how are people succeeding in this economy? And to be honest, I'll pivot it to a little bit of a different take, because this is something I was thinking about right before you asked that, is the economy hasn't really worked well, increasingly worked more poorly for a lot of people. I think we can all agree with that, right? There's a wealth
Yes.
disparity. There is a lot of issues. Okay, we'll go with that. I do predict that, if fostered in the right way, we can, for example, natural language prompt engineering for people who don't have college degrees and who are maybe great at critical thinking, not so great, don't have a bachelor's degree or master's degree, to use computer systems in the way that they've been used before, and now can just interact with these systems like everybody else.
Oh, it can democratize the economy.
Exactly, yeah. So I think it creates opportunity for those that want to pursue it. And also, I think what will be interesting about this conference, and if anyone is drawn to attend, should attend, because I think what you're going to see is also a resurgence of the arts, of agriculture, of creativity, of a lot of things that make us human. I hope. It's been really hard to make it as an artist. Every artist out there or a musician will know this, that this economy has not supported the creative arts unless it's been monetized in such a way. So now my hope is that we'll see a lot more of that. And you'll see some of that here at the conference too.
So the AI of everything.
Yeah.
So we went from the internet of everything to the AI of everything. Dr. Weber. I'm going to set this question up for you. Technology hardware requires a list of various minerals and rare earth metals that are found in various places across the earth. Smartphones, laptops, tablets, servers, storage units, electric vehicles need lithium batteries and magnets. Drones require energy. Everything AI-related requires energy. And this explosion in demand for energy has increased exponentially. So we're talking fossil fuels, and we're talking whatever is required to drive energy. So how does this supply chain of raw materials for producing AI-related hardware and the power that it needs to perform, how does that factor into this discussion at the summit?
Yeah, you know, I think that'll be a good question when we're talking about it at the summit. I think the easiest way I've heard this equated in the past is if you think of a traditional Google search and today's AI query. Today's AI query takes 10 times as much energy to produce a result as a Google search does. And so you think about the frequency in which we use AI and the way we've used Google historically and the amount of energy that's going to require to get there, it's going to be important. And you bring up the dependency on specific minerals and energy sources. And I think that, you know, a word we've used earlier in this conversation is collaboration. And that's where we're going to have to collaborate across the world to figure out who are bringing those rich resources, who are bringing the rich thought resources together. Otherwise, we're going to see this disparity amongst who's advancing and who's not. And the dependency is going to require more so equally these kinds of resources that you reference, as well as the thought resources that we've historically been world leaders in the United States for years.
Well, certainly the expansion of AI technology requires both hardware and software. It requires the building of mass data centers and so on and so forth. And of course, everything that goes into technology requires, you know, cobalt, nickel, palladium, you know, all the various different things. These mineral resources are part of the supply chain. Mm-hmm. Where are they coming from? And are those industries part of our local region here in the Rogue Valley? Or are we in the supply chain at all?
There's a tense conversation, and I don't mean tense and emotional. It certainly is emotionally tense, depending on who you talk to, but a tension between this kind of sense of wastefulness that these tools are, not only are they writing our essays for us, but they're also doing it at 10 times the cost of power, and that's certainly happening. The tension is between that and the promise of the efficiencies that they can bring. This is artificial intelligence. There are ways in which we can get machines to do things for us that are, in the long run, more efficient than the alternative, more efficient than doing it on paper or in the old way of doing things. I can have AI create a website for me in 2 minutes that runs, and instead of 6 months. That's not an exaggeration.
But that efficiency draws more energy. And we have limited energy. We have a grid, right?
Exactly. So the combustion engine, every time the combustion engine has become more efficient, we didn't put less cars on the road. We put more cars on the road. We use that as a selling point to sell more cars. Mm-hmm. And so I think the bottom line is we just need to be aware. Part of this event, the AI Summit, is let's have that conversation.
Okay.
I was going to say, I think to your question, our region is limited in what we can provide in this conversation. It's going to require a lot of data centers. And you know, I don't think, you know, in talking about economic development in our region, we talk about data centers as a good path forward for us. It does require a lot of resources, and it doesn't produce a lot of jobs. And, you know, in a valley, we don't have an abundance of land that we could commit to something like that. And so we might be reliant on partners who are producing those data centers. So that question, what do we bring to the equation? Well, historically, we've had agriculture. Historically, we've had timber. Moving forward, what does our economy in the region look like? And hopefully that's where our industry and technology, we can be thought partners and work with our friends at Workforce Partnerships and elsewhere to make those robust industries.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. You get the last word. I appreciate that. Thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.